Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Pat Leahy is here with me in the studio, political editor with the Irish Times. You're very welcome.
Hi, Claire.
Still standing?
Just about.
Just about.
Could be a long week yet,
oh,
you know.
Absolutely. Well, that's certainly how it's looking. I was really interested to read the piece you're writing this morning on the front page with Jennifer Bray about Sinn Féin. You're suggesting there's growing unease within the party around the leadership of Mary Lou McDonald, something that we haven't heard before now.
Yeah, I should credit Jennifer with most of the reporting on this. But I mean, one of the things about Sinn Féin, I mean, we know that Sinn Féin is different to the other parties and its behaviour is different in many respects. And one of that, one of the facets of that we've noticed over recent years is the kind of the unity and discipline that Sinn Féin always maintains to the outside world. And while there are certainly, you know, there are certainly vigorous discussions have always taken place within Sinn Féin, they didn't leak those to the outside world. And it was very hard for those of us who cover politics to peek inside Sinn Féin in the way that the other parties, commendably to my mind, are very happy to wash their dirty linen in public. But what we see, I think, beginning now is a sort of a change in Sinn Féin in response to the electoral disaster that that they've sustained.
Is that how you characterise it?
A disaster for Sinn Féin. That is, yeah, it is. I mean, without, you know, without going into the detail of it, party that led the opinion polls often, you know, up to a point where it was almost reaching levels that were as large or larger than the combined opinion poll rating of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, for them to slump down. And of course, this all didn't happen in the election. It has been a trend which we have seen beginning in recent, beginning probably last year, accelerating in recent months, and then being turbocharged as the measurement of the election comes up. Because what I guess what elections do is they give us a measurement of public sentiment. For Sinn Féin to go down to about half of where each Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were. Is a disaster by anybody's definition.
Even just listening to Petula there delivering that line that Maurice Quinlivan's votes are now being distributed in the Limerick mayoral election. I mean, who would have thought that that would have been the case? Because remember at the beginning of that campaign, he was considered almost a shoe-in for that job.
Yeah, he was. And not alone has he just been eliminated, but he's been eliminated ahead of the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael candidates, who will probably be the next to be eliminated. But we've seen that pattern consistency. I mean, we can say it in a million different ways, or, you know, we can pick 1,000 examples as we pour through the results. But what has happened has been there's been a collapse in support for Sinn Féin. And going back to your original point, what we're beginning to see, and we quote this in our piece in the Irish Times today, you're seeing, you know, dissent beginning to break out. And in a way, if Sinn Féin is on a long transition to becoming a more normal party, or a party that more resembles all the other parties, then, you know, then being able to criticise your leader in public, which is something that rarely, if ever, happened before, I suppose, is a step in that direction.
Well, and that's what you have in this piece today, because it is unusual to have a Sinn Féin councillor. You've John Hearn there, re-elected in Waterford, saying that the party needed to get back to basics and criticising the strategy of backroom people making decisions, which we hear all the time, you know, at various points when it comes to the other mainstream parties. But as you say, it is very unusual to hear Sinn Féin people saying this. Now, do you directly link that to something that may become a challenge to Mary Lou McDonald's leadership?
I find it hard to see a challenge to her leadership between now and the next general election for two reasons. One, because even if we see the culture changing in Sinn Féin, that to me is kind of an unimaginable leap at this stage, that there would be some class of a push against her, a heave. What would happen? A motion of no confidence at the National Executive or in the Parliamentary Party? All those things are so alien to the culture of Sinn Féin as to be, to my mind, probably unimaginable before the election. And the other factor, of course, is that the election is likely, or the timing of the election is likely to be brought forward, I think, by these results.
Look, the more I hear about this, the more confused I get. I fell asleep listening to Late Debate last night, where they were
Shocking admission.
I know. They were still saying, you know, this election will not happen. The work goes on. You know that Simon Harris message, we have to sit down and get on with it now and we have things that we need to do. How do they reverse out of such a firm position on running the full term?
I think like this. I think they do a budget either as scheduled in early October, or they bring it forward into September. And they say, kind of accurately, that look, this budget is the last major political act of this government. To all intents and purposes, we have run our full term. The election is either going to be in a couple of months, or it's going to be, it's either going to be in, say, 4 months, or it's going to be in 1 month. We think we'll have it in 1 month.
And they expect everyone to say, that's grand, we'll completely disregard everything you said about running the full term into next year.
I think they could make the argument that actually, to all intents and purposes, their term was up. And let us quibble about a couple of months.
OK, now, the Greens, in real danger of not returning any MEPs as a result of this election, still ongoing. We know the counts are happening. These things are yet to be decided. That would be hugely damaging for that party and damaging for the wider Green movement, because we heard here from Graham Finlay yesterday that the Greens across the EU now are looking at Ireland, hoping, because they've lost 18 seats across the board, that we will send at least one or two back over.
Yeah, and if no MEPs return, I suppose that would be consistent with the trend that we have seen across Europe. I think Grace O'Sullivan is a very long shot, not impossible, but a very long shot to return. Ciarán Cuff, maybe at this stage, the toss of a coin. You wouldn't put your house on him returning, but you know, nor would you put your house on him not returning at this stage. I think that's really symbolically important, the Cuff seat, for them, if they can hold that seat. Because like every small party in government that goes into an election, you know, there was predictions of, you know, that the Greens would face a wipeout. And while they have lost seats and they have lost support, you haven't seen a complete wipeout. But I think to lose that Dublin MEP seat, I think that would cast... I think it would mean that the rest of the local elections were interpreted in a much more negative way for them. If they can hold that seat, they can say, look, you know, we took a wallop, but we're still standing and we will fight the next election, you know, on our agenda. And I've always taken the view that while the Greens would face a very stiff electoral test in the next general election, the numbers of people who are concerned about climate change and are open to the idea of climate action, I think is likely to be greater at the next election than it was at the last election. Now, that doesn't guarantee the Greens anything, but it gives them a public to talk to. And if they can hold that seat, they can say to one another, and a lot of these things are about, you know, internal party morale as well. They can say to one another, you know, that, look, you know, we're still standing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a harder argument to make if they have no MEPs.
Can I get your take on the independent vote, and in particular the anti-immigration vote? Because we've had mainstream parties coming out saying, oh, it's very noteworthy that not many of these people got elected. But Brian O'Connell, our reporter there, made the point that Derek Bligh got 25,000 votes in the European election. Now, what does that say to you about what might happen down the line with that anti-immigration movement?
I mean, the way Irish politics often works is that the centre is very pliable, and the centre, the governing centre, tends to take on, you know, movements for change or movements of the extremes, and to take on a bit of their energy. And so what we have seen in recent months is, you know, the government adopting a much tougher line on immigration and adopting a tougher rhetorical line as well as policy line. You've seen Sinn Féin do that as well. And so I think that takes out some of the, I think some of the more mainstream. I think there is a distinction to be made between people who have concerns about, you know, migration centres, about the numbers of asylum seekers, how the system is dealing with them and the capacity of the system to dealing with them, to people who are standing on hard right, anti-migration, Ireland for the Irish type of platforms. Mm. The numbers and the success of those people, notwithstanding those 25,000 votes and tens of thousands of votes in the other constituencies as well. So that is a thing. But is it a mainstream part of our politics in the way that it is in other European countries? I don't think it is yet. And I think that the its future and its development, and while it is a fringe part of our politics now, whether it becomes a stronger force in our politics depends on how the government manages the concerns of those people who are not far right, but who are migration concerned.
All right, all to be seen. Thank you very much, Pat Leahy, for coming in, political editor with the Irish Times. We'll take a break here, back after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.